Now this example will show that Socrates was wrong. This is the simple refutation of Socrates. And you can multiply so many examples. Whereas Socrates said, if you know what is right, you cannot but do the right thing, voluntarily. But since examples like which I gave you just now are plenty, Socrates is very much attacked. And they say Socrates is wrong. Even if you know what is right, there is no guarantee that you will know right. So knowing right and will for right are not the same thing. Ethical problem is double. First, to know what is right, and second is a problem of to will to do right. Mere knowledge of right does not guarantee that you will also have a will for the right. That is the argument against Socrates. So they say Socrates is wrong. Ethical problem is a double problem. It's not only a problem of knowing what is right. If Socrates is right, then it will mean that the moment you know what is right, you will do the right. There is no question of will afterwards. Will will follow automatically the right. So according to Socrates, knowing and willing are both identical. To know is to will. Now let us see. Knowledge in this view means the knowledge of what is good, and the knowledge is the intellectual apprehension. And by virtue is meant any good deed of an agent who has apprehended it to be good. The plausibility, now the word plausible is very often used in philosophy. So you should try to understand the word plausible. Any argument which seems at the first sight to be true is called plausible. Any argument which seems, at least in the beginning, to be worth considering because it seems to be right, it seems that there may be some truth in it, then it is worth considering. Therefore it is called plausible. A plausible argument is an argument worth considering. Why? Because it seems that it may be right. Not that you have said it is. If the argument is right, you don't say it is plausible. You simply say it's a correct argument. But when the argument is not yet proved to be correct, but seems at the first sight to be correct, then you call that argument to be plausible. Now this statement says that Socratic view can be interpreted in such a way that it can be proved to be wrong. This is the argument which is put in section number 1. A Socratic view that virtue is knowledge, this argument is wrong. This statement is wrong. Socrates is not right in saying that virtue is knowledge. What is the proof? It depends upon what Socrates has said in two of his dialogues, Charmides and Leches. It's not IHS, it is LACHES. Charmides and Leches, LACHES. The plausibility of this interpretation depends upon the two dialogues, Charmides and Leches. These are the two titles of his dialogues. One dialogue is called Charmides, other dialogue is called Leches, in which the Socratic doctrine is expounded to a certain extent. In Leches, Socrates says in effect that it is not the case that the Brahmin is never afraid, but in spite of fear he advances, rushes the slopes and captures the enemy's weapons. Why does he? Because he is afraid of certain things even more than of the weapons. Such things as the doing of what is disgraceful, of feeling shame, of the reputation for cowardice, of betraying one's comrades. What then is the difference between a coward and a brave man? The difference is that while the brave man knows what is really to be afraid of, the coward does not. Hence the knowledge of the right makes the former courageous. That is the argument. I think I stop here today, but think about this argument. I'll repeat the argument for your brevity. On what ground does Socrates say that a brave man is different from a coward? His answer is, it is not that brave man has no fear and that coward has fear. This is not the difference between coward and the brave. Both have fear. Both are afraid. But whereas the coward is afraid of what he ought not to be afraid, and the brave is one who knows of what he should be afraid. That is the difference. The coward is afraid of being killed, whereas the brave man is afraid of being called coward. He is afraid of doing something disgraceful. Therefore, he has the courage to go into the enemy's camp and capture the weapons of the enemy. Now think about it and argue for or against as you like next time. But this is his argument. What is the difference between the brave man and the coward? Not that the brave man is not afraid and that the coward is afraid, but according to him, the coward does not know of what he should be afraid, whereas the brave man knows of what he should be afraid. The ethical problem is a double one. The double one in the sense that it's a problem of knowing what is good or right, and secondly, the problem of willing to do what is good or right. So there's an ethical problem is double. So there are two things to be understood. What is knowledge? What is the knowledge of the right or good? And how can there be a will to do what is good or right? Now, in answer to this question, two dialogues are referred to. Two dialogues written by Plato, in which Socrates is the main character. So first is the dialogue called Leches, in which Socrates argues, what is the difference between a courageous man and a coward? The normal answer that is given is that coward is one who is afraid and a courageous man is one who is not afraid. But Socrates says, no, that is not a correct answer. Both are afraid. The courageous man is also afraid and the coward also is afraid. Fear is a universal impulse. The only difference is that the coward does not know what is to be afraid of. The courageous man knows what is to be afraid of. And since the courageous man knows that one should be afraid of running away, afraid of getting disgrace, therefore he does not run away. So it is the knowledge that is the differentia between the coward and the courageous. This is what we have seen last time. Now we come to the second dialogue. The argument in Charmides is that it is the knowledge of the mean between extreme indulgence and extreme asceticism that makes a man temperate or sober. So once again, the criterion is the knowledge. If you know how to make a balance between one extreme and the other, then you become sober or temperate and therefore virtuous. So these two dialogues discuss the question of what is virtue and what is knowledge, and now we make a comment on these two dialogues. These two dialogues give a clue, it is said, as to what meaning is attached by Socrates to the word knowledge. Here there is no reference to the knowledge of the whole reality or of the highest good. It is therefore not mystic or intuitive knowledge, which is an attribute of spiritual experience. Knowledge is therefore concluded to be intellectual apprehension of the right in a given particular situation. There are two meanings of the word knowledge: intellectual apprehension or intellectual perception. Intuitive perception. Either intellectual or intuitive. You get through intellect an idea. Through intuition you get an experience. So intellectual knowledge is ideative knowledge. Through intuitive experience you get knowledge by identity. Let us write down these two words which are very important. Intellectual knowledge is ideative in character, and intuitive knowledge is experiential in character. The central question is, When Socrates uses the word knowledge in his doctrine, what does knowledge mean? Is it intellectual knowledge or experiential knowledge? That is the issue. And on that will depend our appreciation of his doctrine. Whether that doctrine is right or wrong will depend upon the meaning that he attaches to the word knowledge. Now, if you examine his two dialogues, Laches and Charmides, it appears that he means by knowledge, intellectual knowledge. It appears. Later on we shall see that it could also mean, in the case of Socrates, intuitive knowledge. Because there is a possibility of interpreting Socrates in both the ways, one has to work harder to find out what exactly he meant by the word knowledge. Now, if it is meant by knowledge, intellectual apprehension, intellectual knowledge, then this doctrine is subject to criticism. Now, what are the criticisms that we can level against it are now given in what we are going to read now. First, the Socratic doctrine thus interpreted is liable to obvious objection. First, the doctrine can be disproved by an appeal to actual facts. Actual facts tell us that any good action presupposes the knowledge on the part of the agent of what is good, but not vice versa. That is to say, knowledge of what is good is not always followed by a good action. Drunkards, for instance, know the evil consequences of drinking and know the value of sobriety, and yet they are not able to resist the temptation to drink. Saint Augustine, when he was a boy, knew that stealing was a sin in the sight of God, and yet he used to be tempted to steal apples from an orchard. He used to repent for the act, used to weep and cry over it, and still could not be free from the vice for many years. How on Socratic doctrine are we to explain this fact? I hope the argument is clear. It is true that a good action is preceded by the knowledge of the good. But can we say that the knowledge of the good is necessarily followed by a good action? That's the question. So this is the criticism. It is true that a good action presupposes the knowledge of the good. But knowledge of the good does not necessarily guarantee that it will follow in the good action. Therefore, Socratic doctrine is not correct. Because according to Socrates, the knowledge of the good necessarily implies good action. So Socratic doctrine is contradictory of facts. Therefore, the doctrine is not correct. Secondly, it follows that a good deed is a result of the knowledge of what is good as well as the will to do what is apprehended to be good. It may therefore be argued that while Socrates recognizes the problem of knowledge, he forgets to recognize the problem of volition. You know the word volition. Volition means will. So these are the two criticisms of the Socratic doctrine. Now before we proceed further, I want to see that these two criticisms are clear in your mind. So we shall revise. It's a good form of an argument. And for any philosophical discussion, this grounding in a good argument is always useful. So let us repeat now. I will ask questions and you reply to me. What is the Socratic doctrine? State the Socratic doctrine. For any argumentation, it is best to be sure as to what exactly is a statement. What exactly? So since we are examining the doctrine of Socrates, we must ask ourselves, what is a Socratic doctrine? We can state.
He's saying that if you know something to be good, he's saying that you should,
you would
do it as a...
That's right, correct. According to Socrates, if you know what is good, you will necessarily do it. His doctrine is, not virtue is knowledge. Virtue means good action. Good action He is grounded in knowledge. If you know what is good, you will necessarily do it. Now he gives two arguments to show that virtue is knowledge. The first argument is given in Leches. What is that argument? What is the difference between a coward and a courageous man? Can you tell me what is his argument?
That the coward, he does not know what to be afraid of.
Yes.
And the courageous man, he knows what to be afraid of.
Good. So the difference is between in the case of knowledge, in regard to knowledge. In the case of Charmides, what is the argument?
The person knows what is good, but yet does not do it.
In Charmides' argument is, how does one become temperate? What is it that makes a man temperate? If he knows the mean between two extremes, indulgence and asceticism, these are the two extremes. If you know the mean between the two, then you will be temperate. You will be sober. So in both the examples, it is the knowledge that leads you to do the right thing. That is the argument of Socrates. So we have now two steps. What is the doctrine of Socrates? Answer is, virtue is knowledge. What is the argument? Take the example of the courageous and the coward and the difference between the two. The difference between the two is in respect of knowledge. Similarly, in the case of a temperate person, if he is virtuous, why is he virtuous? Because he knows the difference between the two extremes and knows the mean between the two. Because he knows the mean between the two extremes, therefore he is temperate. These are his arguments. Now, what are the criticisms? Appeal to facts. If you appeal to the fact, you find that even if somebody knows what is right, it does not guarantee that he will necessarily do the right thing. We can give hundreds of examples. The second criticism is, therefore, that Socrates fixes his mind only upon one aspect of ethical problem, namely to know the right. But he does not deal with the problem of willing. How do you will the right? So these are the two criticisms of this doctrine.